We are back with our HRN on tour coverage of Charleston Wine and Food Festival. I'm Hannah Ford, and I'm really excited to sit down with our two guests. I have Carrie Morey of Callie's Little Biscuits and Isaac Morton of Smithy Ironware. So just a little introduction about our guests, although I'm sure our listeners who are from Charleston are familiar with both of these folks. Carrie is a biscuit entrepreneur who was inspired by her mother, Callie White, who is a caterer, to open her own Callie's Charleston Biscuits in 2005. She's been featured in Savoir, Food and Wine, Oprah Magazine, and was named one of Martha Stewart's Dreamers into Doers in 2008. She has a cookbook called Callie's Biscuits and Southern Traditions, and she's got locations here in Charleston and Atlanta. So welcome, Carrie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
And welcome to Charleston.
This is my first time. I'm really excited. And then on my other side, we've got Isaac Morton, who was inspired to leave a career in real estate, right?
That's right.
Yeah. to pursue everything cast iron. So I heard that this was inspired when you were given a 120-year-old cast iron skillet as a gift. And he founded Smithy Stoneware in 2015, and to this day is the company's sole craftsman. Is that right?
I have more craftsmen.
You have more now? Okay. Yes. So maybe our information was a little outdated.
I was the craftsman until recently.
That's amazing.
But I'm still crafting.
I love it. So maybe I'll start with you, Carrie. Tell me about what made you choose to open Callie's Charleston Biscuits as your first business. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah. So I was on maternity leave with my first of three daughters back in 2004 and really was trying to figure out the struggle of how to be able to have a business but also be a mom. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wanted to work in food. It's just been in my family forever, and really had an aha moment watching my mom make biscuits that I've grown up on our whole lives. And I said, you know, this is the beginning of a food movement. I've just moved from New York and watched, you know, the beginnings of some food companies happening up there with shipping online. And I said, we should figure out a way to package these biscuits and ship them. And my mom, Callie, said, you've lost your mind. So it took a lot of twisting of her many, all arms multiple times. And finally she said, I'll do it, but I'm not believing this is going to be a good idea. So that was 15 years ago.
Wow. Well, I guess your mom expected the success you would have, and now her name is still
like, wait, I mean, are you selling those biscuits? What's happening with the company? And I'm like, yeah, Mom, we are. We're actually making a few million a year.
Wow.
And selling them and.
That's so exciting. So what is it that makes your mother's biscuit recipe so special? I'm assuming that's where the recipe originated.
Yes, it is Callie's recipe. Yes. And I think a few things make the biscuit special, but most importantly for us, it's the handmade process. So, you know, it's a little bit of a detriment to us because at certain points we can only make what we can make. But it really makes a huge difference to do it by hand. And then we use really great ingredients, a fabulous Southern flour. And I think that the people that are on my team really believe in the product. And it's important to really love what you do. So I would say that would be the third ingredient.
Yeah, I think that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
So Isaac, tell me about making the life-changing shift from real estate to cast iron. What prompted that, and how did you start that journey?
The recession prompted that.
Oh.
Yeah. But, no, I'd always collected vintage cast iron. And vintage cast iron, for your listeners who may collect Griswold and Wagner brands, these are sort of iconic brands that were produced 100 years ago, 150 years ago. And they, all those skillets had a really smooth cook surface. And most cast iron, modern cast iron, has a very pebbly like surface. It's rough. It's not quite as approachable.
Sorry, you're having
a
little...
Oh, here we go.
Your mic's talking back to you.
Yeah. I collected these old pieces, and I thought, why can't we do that? Create cast iron in a in a vintage style today. And I put a design together, went and talked to probably 200 founders around the country and got kicked out of most of their offices. And then we found one foundry that was really interested in the project and cast several parts with them and worked on polishing them sort of in our shop here in Charleston. And haven't stopped since. So we've got two pieces right now, a 12-inch and a 10-inch skillet. We have an 8-inch coming this summer, probably. More of like a frittata omelet-like skillet, more of a chef skillet. It's been a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And I guess this, I have a question for both of you. As you're both sort of food entrepreneurs who jumped into it maybe without a whole lot of background, like, do you have any advice for, you know, young or aspiring food entrepreneurs for how to start something from scratch and make it successful? I don't care. Do you want to start?
I think my biggest piece of advice for somebody that's starting out in the food business as an entrepreneur would be don't quit your day job. And keep working two jobs as long as you can until you just absolutely can't do it anymore. You know, if you're passionate about your product, then it will all work out. But it's the first couple of years are really rough, especially when you're introducing something that may not be already in the market. You're having to retrain, you know, your audience and say, no, this is a great thing. And I don't know. I think it's tough, but I think that if you have that passion, it will carry you through.
Yeah. How about you, Isaac? Any advice?
I would say, learn from failure, because you're gonna stumble along the way, and remember those lessons and improve on them. I mean, there's a lot of things in life that are that way, but really have a lot of determination to learn from your failure. And content is critical. It's really important to have wonderful photography, to have wonderful design. Right now, more than anything, especially with people so much e-commerce out there, the more you can separate yourself from a branding perspective and really invest in quality content, I think that's the most, one of the other.
Yeah, and how do you with Smithy Stone Ironware, how do you, differentiate the quality of the work that you're doing? You know, I think people tend to buy out of habit some of the bigger brands. Like, why would they choose?
Well, it's a story. I mean, I think you really want to tell your story. And you want to do everything you can to sort of stay, I guess, on brand, if you will, or really invest in the nature of the brand, and really believe in it, I would say. So.
Yeah, I feel like cast iron especially, it has such a personality, and you have to give it exactly what it needs and take care of it really carefully. I know the internet is awash with videos for how to care for your cast iron products.
Oh, yeah.
What's your secret?
You know, there's a lot of mythology out there about how to care for cast iron. It's really, in simple terms, keep an even layer of oil on its surface, a light layer of oil on its surface. Don't be afraid to scratch off charred food remnants. And just naturally let your seasoning layer, if you will, build up in a really light, uniform fashion. I think people get really, really, they get really caught up in seasoning, It's not quite as important, in my opinion, for a polished cast iron skillet. Seasoning is just there to protect your cast iron more than anything. So it's like paint on your house. It's just a layer to protect you from rust. So just have a nice light layer of oil and keep it dry. And don't put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, keep the rust away. So, Carrie, the first time that I tasted Callie's Little Biscuits was in New York, of all places.
Nice.
And I know, I guess I'm curious, what is it that you love about the food scene in Charleston? I mean, we saw a line out the door of Callie's Charleston Biscuits this morning. So what is it about the food culture here that's special?
Well, I mean, I really need to thank the people of Charleston, I guess, for that line out the door. So I would say that, you know, we have a very hungry crowd here that is incredibly interested in really good food. So that keeps me in business, and so I'm very appreciative for that and love that we have so many new food ideas, entrepreneurs coming in, starting things. We have a great opportunity at the workshop to give people, you know, a little taste as to what it would be like if you open this new concept, and then hopefully it blossoms into something else. So I just think that it's a little bit of a melting pot and a great a place for you to come and try your dream out, which is not really the case in a lot of other cities. So I think that it's the perfect setting for anybody who really has always had that culinary dream and they want to, you know, try it out on us. And we are all, the people of Charleston are all ready and willing to kind of dig into their dreams. So.
Yeah, it seems like it's an exciting place to be. I guess I'd ask you the same question, Isaac. How do you find running a food business in Charleston, and how does this market, I feel like everyone is very invested in their food culture.
They are. And it's a really important, it's sort of an intangible value that you get from just being here. Because you have a city it's not just a beautiful place to be, but it's also, from a culinary perspective, really growing. I mean, I know when I moved here probably 12 years ago, it wasn't what it is today. No, like nowhere close. And it's incredible how it's come over that period of time. So the wind is at our back, figuratively and literally.
It's also very windy.
Living here, right. But yeah, it's a great place to have such a supportive community.
Excellent. And you're showing here at Charleston Wine and Food in the Artisan.
We're in the Artisan Market. Yes.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. And how's the show been for you?
Oh, it's been great. Awesome. Yeah, we just did it last year for the first time. And this year's been terrific. I feel like there's more people this year than last year. And there were a lot of people last year. So yeah.
Excellent. And Carrie, what's next for Callie's Little Biscuits? It seems like are exciting things in the future for us.
I don't know. Do you have a spot for me in New York?
I mean, as they like to say, the rent is too damn high.
It is so high.
I think that... Thank you, David.
I love that.
Yeah, I think New York is definitely ready for some good Southern food. I think that's kind of a void, are some of those, like, you know, quality biscuits. So yeah, I'm ready for you.
Well, I'm ready for New York. I mean, maybe I'm not quite ready for New York, but it's definitely on the list. And, you know, I don't know exactly what is next, but I know that there is something. And I kind of like the unknown and the element of surprise as to what's going to come next. So I'm just as excited as hopefully you are to see what it is. I don't know.
Excellent. And Isaac, where can our listeners find Smithy Ironware out in the market?
We're in about 46 to 60 retailers around the country. So,
do you have a list on your website?
I have a list. Awesome. There's a list on our website at smithyironware.com. You can find us on our website at smithyironware.com. Food 52.
Oh, nice.
Taste Made, Southern Kitchen, or some other online areas where you can find us. But we're in about, I think, 25-30 states right now. So
excellent. Yeah, cool. And are there any restaurants in Charleston that you can call out that use your products?
Yes, Brooks Reitz at Leon's. They have, and at his new restaurant, they've got some Smithies there. So.
I love it.
Yeah.
And Carrie, where can our listeners find more information about Callie's Little Biscuits or get some for themselves?
Well, you can. We have about 400 retailers across the country where you can get them in the freezer section. And then our pimento cheese is sold at all the Whole Foods in the Northeast. So you can get pimento cheese when you go home.
Yes.
And we ship direct, so we ship online, but we have a full list of all of our retailers. And then, of course, when you come to Charleston, we have two Hot Little Biscuit bake shops here in Charleston and one in Atlanta in the Virginia Highlands area.
Excellent.
So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have some biscuits waiting for us.
Oh, yeah. I brought you some.
Which I'm very excited about.
A hot dozen of the different flavors.
Thank you so much to Carrie Morey of Kelly's. Callie's Hot Little Biscuits, and Isaac Morton from Smithy Ironware. We are Heritage Radio Network, a member-supported radio network out of Brooklyn and this weekend out of Charleston. You can find us at heritageradionetwork.org. Thanks to our sponsors, Springer Mountain Farms, Big Green Egg, the Julia Child Foundation, and Wisconsin Cheese for allowing our coverage of Charleston Wine and Food to happen. So, stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.